And hold on, did they sign Hayden Hurst or Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry.
The double H is
yeah.
The alliteration.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. Sometimes we got to check things out before we get started. I wasn't sure, and I'm not the only one that makes that mistake. That's L. Duncan. That's Mina Kimes. You said it was Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry. Does Bill Belichick look desperate?
All right, the Patriots went 7-9 last year, and honestly, if you watch them play, it's pretty amazing they went 7-9 because they look like they stunk. They have all the cap space in the world in a year where most teams are tight on it because the cap shrunk, and so Bill Belichick went shopping. They went out and got not just the top tight end on the free agent market, but the number two. They got Jonnu Smith, and they got Hunter Henry. They signed Matthew Judon, a pass rusher. They signed Dalvin Gottschall. That's how you say that, right? That dude. They signed a bunch of guys that you have probably heard of and your football nerd friends can tell you a whole lot about, but none that your mom is aware of. It seems like they got a bunch of really good or pretty good players at the very least. Here's the thing, though. What else were they supposed to do? Like, their roster doesn't have players. Mike Reese raised the question whether or not the Patriots had abandoned their draft and develop strategy. I mean, they're still having a draft, right? They'll still be able to get some guys out of there, but they needed more than they could ever get in one draft, so they went and got all that they could get. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them, but I do question the approach because it hasn't worked out for teams in the past. Now, look, I like some of these players. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, good tight ends. Matt Judon, good fit for what the Patriots do on offense. But the sort of contracts they've been giving out to, like, Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne, these are not Patriots contracts. They're the sort of contracts that have mixed results. But Bomani, you're right. They did this because they had to. And that's what's unusual here, that the Patriots had so many holes on their roster, not just that they had so much money. And that's the product of some bad decisions, bad drafts in recent years. I mean, the Patriots have been terrible at drafting and signing wide receivers. They drafted two tight ends in the third round last year and then went out and paid the two best tight ends available. Those contracts could work out. These players could be good, and the Patriots will definitely be better than they were last season. But this is new money behavior from a team that usually acts like old money.
That's why I love this, guys, because this is the most relatable thing Bill Belichick has ever done. He is spending that stimmy money like it's already dropped, and he knows his tax refund is on the way, too. You guys mentioned it. This has not worked in the past, right? Because I think the Patriots committed more money day one in free agency than they have in the last three combined. We've seen five other instances where people have dropped $100 million-plus cash in free agency, and, well, none of them have won a playoff game. So while I do think, to your point, he needed to upgrade some positions, namely that receiving core that wasn't very good. What about the most glaring question of all? Who the hell is going to throw to any of these tight ends and these receivers? Because I'm sorry, like, committing what they did to Cam Newton tells you that they at least feel comfortable with giving him another chance, and they do have nine picks in the draft. But right now, it seems like the Patriots upgraded to expensive Wi-Fi, but they're still using a Dell computer.
Yeah, but that's why they got to go get these guys. Like, I don't view this in the context of desperation, because I do think just about any other team in the league in a similar situation would have probably tried to make the same run that they're making right now to try to get these players, because the NFL ain't about your three-year window. It ain't about your two-year window. It's about the one that's coming up. And I don't think they can win a Super Bowl because of the quarterback situation, but they don't have to be as bad as they were. And I don't have an alternative solution for what they should have done. The thing about Belichick, though, typically, he's kind of like Dr. Dre, right? Dr. Dre had all these rappers that you only heard rap on like one Dr. Dre album. You never hear him anywhere else because the only person that knows how to use them on a track is Dr. Dre. That's what Belichick typically does with all these dudes. He normally gets them cheap because he's the only one that can figure out how to make them work. This time he had to get some people that other people wanted too.
Yeah. And it's wild, by the way, that like we all feel comfortable criticizing him. Like if this was 2 years ago and Belichick was paying, I don't know, Jalen Mills, who we've seen get burnt in Philadelphia, a big contract, we'd be like, oh, it's Bill Belichick. He must see something that we don't. The genius is at it again. But 2 years can change a lot. And now we're looking at him, we're like comfortable criticizing these moves, which feels different. The fact that he made them, Bomani, tells me that last year when they went 7-9, even though they looked a lot worse, as you said, he must have been a lot angrier than we knew. Like, I feel like behind that mask, there were some real grimaces that we didn't see. This is Bill Belichick saying, I am not doing that again.
here's the most relatable thing about it to me about Belichick. Don't forget, it ain't his money. Like, you look at that and like, why give Jalen Mills all that money? He's like, I don't know. Talk about
it. To spend.
Does Fitzmagic make sense for the Washington football team?
He has a name, and his name is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I feel like it's important to point out that he has an actual name, because when we used to call him Fitzmagic, it was ironic because everybody understood that he wasn't good. And then somehow, somewhere along the way, late in his 16-year career, there are people that think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is good at this. Now, I understand that if you looked at some of those advanced numbers from last season for him, they look pretty good. And you know why? Because for stretches, Ryan Fitzpatrick looks pretty good. The Dolphins made the smart play last year, which is don't wait for him to be terrible. Cut it off now. Sometimes you got to walk away from the table. Washington, instead, a team that won its division last year and has a much worse chance of doing so because Dak Prescott's going to be back in Dallas. They decided, hey, we're going to take this great defense we have. No, we can try to get a quarterback maybe that'll minimize mistakes and let our defense do things for us. Or we'll go get on the Ryan Fitzpatrick roller coaster. Have fun with that, Ron Rivera. Doesn't that sound like Ron Rivera? Can you imagine Ron Rivera after a classic Ryan Fitzpatrick game? What are you doing?
Okay, well, also don't give the Dolphins too much credit, because they may have said, let's move on from him before it all goes awry, but then they had to use him as a relief pitcher, something we rarely see in the NFL. I mentioned Adele earlier, right, when I was talking about the Patriots. Ryan Fitzpatrick to me is like a T-Mobile sidekick. Like, it's fun to play with, and it's like loaded with nostalgia, and it's fully functional and operational, but at some point you're like, I don't want to make my own ringtones. I'm tired of this. I feel like this move saved us from a couple of things. It saved us from having to open up the season with talk about a quarterback competition between Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen. Thank God for that. But yeah. I actually think that this makes sense. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick is that guy. If you don't have a clear path to a franchise quarterback and you don't want to leverage your future on a quarterback, then he's sort of the guy that you sign. And I think it makes perfect sense. It's a perfect marriage, because Fitz is essentially a Rolling Stone. And when it comes to quarterbacks, you could say the Washington football team is polyamorous. They've had 32 starting quarterbacks in 30 years.
Bo, everything you said is correct. I understand why you don't like, it's not that you don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's that you don't like the fact that he's overrated. And I get that, but what else was Washington supposed to do? We're looking at, they tried for Matt Stafford and failed. We're looking at Mitch Trubisky. We're looking at maybe a trade for Marcus Mariota. We're looking at Heinicke and Kyle Allen, as Elle mentioned. Like, that is the picked over party tray at the end of the night. And I do not blame Washington for reaching for the Ryan Fitzpatrick, because those are not great options. You don't really need advanced metrics to show that he's been decent over the last couple of years. Fifth in QBR last year, small sample size, eighth the year before. I agree with you. Like, the odds that Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be good consistently over the course of an entire season are low, but the odds that he's going to be better than the quarterbacks they had last year are high. And it makes sense for Washington, again, because of what was available to them.
Who's done better in free agency, the Bucs or the Chiefs?
All right, so the Bucs, the reigning Super Bowl champions, had a lot of guys that were said to be free agents. Levante David, Shaq Barrett, we've got a couple other names we can throw out there. And basically they said, all you guys stay. Gronk, we don't know how this is going to hold up with your body. Oh, well, you come back too. They have managed to get the gang back together. The Chiefs, they signed Joe Thuney, a guard from the Patriots, and they re-signed Taco Charlton. And that's it. Like, it's one thing to stand pat after you've won a Super Bowl, which is basically what the Chiefs did last year. Standing pat after what happened to that offensive line, I don't know if simply getting a guard is going to help, because Trapper Jean, MD, he will be coming back from Canada saving lives. They missed him last year. But those two tackles they were down in the Super Bowl, those guys don't play for them anymore. Like, it seems like the big weakness they have as a team is still a big weakness. Way to go, Bucks. I don't know, Chiefs.
Yeah, on his face, the Bucs won, because not only did they run it back, they ran it back at a discount. Like, Levante David and Shaq Barrett did not break the bank. I was surprised that they were able to keep them and Chris Godwin, who they franchise tagged. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, as Bomani mentioned, still have an issue at tackle. But I do think we tend to overvalue teams that run it back because of recency bias. I think of the Eagles recently in 2017. Like, there are many examples of Super Bowl teams getting the game back together and not repeating what they did the prior year. And even with the question marks at offensive line, if these two teams were to meet again, I would bet on the 25-year-old quarterback who's the best in the world in Kansas City. I think they'll figure it out at offensive line, and I think that team's still going to be really good.
I feel like I didn't get a definitive answer from Mina on who actually won, but I agree with her in that she mentioned the Eagles. I mean, Tampa Bay, like, they won the Super Bowl, and they largely kept that team intact, and they were 7-9 team, I believe, the very next year. So I agree with the idea that keeping something intact doesn't mean anything. There's a reason Super Bowl teams don't win back-to-back games, or at least haven't in almost 20 years. I do think the Chiefs addressed a chief concern for themselves. More importantly, some consistency. I mean, Mina, you know the numbers. I'm pretty sure that the Chiefs had 5 different players take at least 100 snaps at guard last year, right? And now they've got Joe Tooney there, someone who has been the picture of consistency. He's an Iron Man, if you will. He's never missed a game, and I think has taken the second most snaps in the NFL behind Jason Kelce since he's been in the league. So at the very least, they improved there. And I think if standing pat as the Super Bowl champion doesn't necessarily mean thing, in particular when you're still old at some spots, namely at quarterback.
I got to say, I am so glad we got a SportsCenter anchor on here, because I thought it was Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney. This is good information to have, that it is Joe Tooney, because he was going to be Tooney from here on out. As far as I was concerned, wasn't nobody ever going to say his name, no place I was going to listen to it.
Up next on HQ.
Yeah, but let's be real. Doesn't everybody like watching people get hit in the stones? Save for the person getting hit in the stones.
No,
yes,
no. It's
funny.
Not save for the person getting hit in the stones. Save for the people with stones. Like you, yeah, you just are completely looking at this as a third person situation. I am not.
Do you question if the Knicks got hosed?
All right, is Knicks Nets like actually turning into a bit of a rivalry? Got a little intense at the end of the game at the Barclays Center. Here we go. We got the Knicks. They are down 3. There we go. Ball comes in to Randle. Julius Randle goes up. They call it travel. He says that Kyrie Irving touched the ball on the way up, which replay indicates, you know, did in fact happen. Mm-hmm. Here it is right here. But the referee said that since the ball wasn't loose in his hand, that it was still traveling. And apparently this is the worst call Julius Randle has ever experienced in his life. He lost it.
Big bad.
Throwing chairs. I don't know what else had gone on. I don't know what they were saying to each other during the game, but that did seem to be a disproportionate reaction to what was, you know, not that bad a call.
Ooh, I like this come from you. I also like the probability of a Nets-Knicks playoff series, which could actually happen and would be amazing. What I don't like was Scott Foster's explanation of it. He said, I got to read this. The defender was deemed to touch the ball but not cause it to be dislodged or loose. Upon that, when the player alights, he cannot purposely drop the ball. What the hell does alight mean?
A-L-I-G-H-T. I had never seen that word before.
Never. Thank you.
The worst part of this is the idea that today on Sports Talk Radio, and I haven't listened to a second of it, but I imagine I have, people now interpreting the NBA rules. Like, according to the NBA rule book, it's so – and, like, honestly, it's okay to not know, because it does appear like Kyrie touched the ball, right? Well, he definitely touched the ball. I don't really know if it didn't alter his shot, whether it's traveling or not. And that's okay to not know the NBA rule book. Like, can we not have a take on this at all? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's March basketball between the Nets and the Knicks. And I get that means something to people like Mina, but it doesn't really mean anything.
I also think there's a certain irony to the fact that the best defensive play I can think of Kyrie Irving making is not being strong enough to take the ball away from Julius Randle in that moment. And then
and
that
alter it at all.
Do you question who deserves the most blame for what happened to this ump?
All right, we're going out to Division II baseball. Now, you need to understand, a player asked for time, and the ump granted him time. So here we go.
We all know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
There it is. There it is.
This is totally the catcher's fault. Look at the catcher. He moves.
Yeah,
the
he
catcher.
Does.
He's like, oh,
he's like, yeah.
That's not, look, he flinched.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's the catcher's fault.
That ain't the catcher's fault. That was the plan. Let's run this back one more time. Like, you're going to tell me that you're the catcher and you're already in your stance and you're just going to completely ignore this baseball that's on the way? Did you see his head move out of the way?
Wow.
Did you see, his head move just a little bit? Your head moved, but your glove did not. Oh, no. I think we need an investigation.
Yeah.
This feels like a concerted effort by all parties involved. The bat, like, both teams might have been in on this one.
Yeah, but let's be real. Doesn't everybody like watching people get hit in the stones? Save for the person getting hit in the stones.
No. It's not save for the person getting hit in the stones. Save for the people with stones. Like you, you just are completely looking at this as a third person situation. I am not.
This is a classic gender divide that happens every time we show one of these videos on this show, which has been probably set a record for showing these types of videos.
It ain't just gender, though, because there's a whole generation that grew up watching America's Funniest Home Videos and think that stuff is funny. So, but guess what? I did not. I was not. It is not. I empathize. I am a man of empathy, as opposed to you sociopaths.
Bomani, I think you're being a little bit hypocritical. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, okay, I mean, this is not funny because the dude got hit in the stalls. You know what makes this funny. That's like, I don't laugh here. This doesn't get me. That's the stretcher.
The stretcher.
It is not about the actual shot. Every time you see me laugh at that, I've been mortified until the stretcher comes out. And but then Bobby I just Jones, don't know what to do.
How long have you been on Highly Questionable?
Give or take 8-9 years.
I would bet my life savings that is not the only clip of you laughing or making fun of someone getting hit in the junk.
Nah. That's really the one. It's actually
Mina does her
thing.
Research.
No way.
She knows
no way.
She does her research.
Thing.
No
way.
Mina.
No way. Mina. Absolutely not.
Good luck. Good luck. Like, maybe you'll find a straight one, but you won't find no pattern. I'm consistent on this.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, Timberwolves and Lakers.
All right, we are going to a clip of Kyle Kuzma. He's a 64% free throw shooter this year and somehow got chosen to shoot a technical free throw.
A harsher penalty.
Bye. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yo.
Wow. It's one thing when it's an air ball because it's short. It was to the left.
Hard left.
Damn. Ooh. Mina, intrigued?
No, not by the game. Yes, by how bad Kuzma is. Like, they were beating them by 10 points. They went out to beat them by 30 points. And if you're getting that kind of mocking reaction from the bench of the opposing team when you are absolutely destroying them, you know that is, like, really bad.
Ellie, you intrigued?
Apparently this is the thing for the Lakers getting mocked. Didn't Kyrie mock LeBron for his terrible attempt at a technical foul too recently? Yeah, he's like, this is who y'all got to shoot y'all's technicals? This your king?
But at least it hit the rim.
That's your best free throw shooter? So there it is. If nothing else, that's what you got on the Lakers. They are terrible at technicals.
Tonight at 11:35 p.m. Eastern, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon.
All right, now you may recall last football season, The Tonight Show was doing this thing where football players are doing their press availability and they get them to say ridiculous things in the course of the press conference, and then they come back on The Tonight Show and put it all together. They're doing this with golfers now.
Florida golf and California golf. Could you compare and contrast?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting this week compared to when we normally play this event. It's more green, you know. I'm used to it being a little more bone dry. The rough just seems to be sort of sweet, sassy, molassy.
Just talk a little bit about how excited you are to be back and also to have the fans here this week.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm just a corn dog living a hot dog life out there now again.
Now that we're at 20% capacity, how much are you looking forward to that aspect?
Yeah, well, you know, to be honest, khakis with the pleats and feet in their cleats keep butts in their seats.
Putting you take great pride in. You talk a little bit about that part of your game.
Well, I love putting. I'm a putt-putt nut-nut. Can I get a what-what?
I think I've just learned that you have to respect the golf course. There's trouble in every hole. You can try to pin the tail on the donkey, but eventually you're going to get kicked in the teeth.
I've never been known to skip on the dip.
Just
Just curious your thoughts on the 17th of the tee shot, if it's intimidating or not.
Simple truth is, you know, we have the meeps. We have what we need. You know, you got to go up there and be great.
There's not a single person on the PGA Tour I would hang out with on purpose. That's the ultimate conclusion I reach as I watch that whole thing. Like, wow, you don't remind me of any of my friends. Mina, are you intrigued?
No. So the first time they did this with, like, Rob Gronkowski, it surprised everyone. But I think we're at a point now with this bit where when an athlete says something weird, we kind of think it's probably for Jimmy Fallon. It's like how Barat could no longer do Barat things, you know, like once the bit is out there, it's kind of been exposed. So it's not really doing it for me now.
Ellie, you intrigued?
Yeah. I mean, also I think the problem too, is it doesn't feel that weird because it seems like everybody on the PGA Tour would be corny enough to say any of those things and use any of those terms in their regular lexicon. Right. Like,
I gotta say, I don't know if any of them are country enough to say you try to pin the tail on the donkey, eventually you get kicked in the teeth. Like, I actually think I might add that one to the rotation myself. All right, that is our show. Check out the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny, a podcast she manages to do with a dog. Elle Duncan, check her out on the 6 o'clock Sports Center. She does not do that with her dog. She does it with Kevin Nagandi.
Who's my dog?
Yeah, the same but different.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.